Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It is a great blessing to join together, and I had a double portion of what you received from Pastor Lance. We were well fed this weekend, and that was the six-course meal that we were able to partake. So in light of what we have heard as to the words of our Lord and our Savior Jesus from the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, we turn our attention this morning to the book of Psalms 23, which I find them to be very much in sync as to the encouragement we find thereof from the words of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who then speaks to our troubled souls, we little faithers, as Pastor Lance would call it. And we find ourselves in Psalm 23, where David announces and declares his unwavering confidence in the shepherd. And we read from verse number 1 of Psalm 23, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads and we pray together. Our glorious eternal God and King, we do bow before your throne of grace, thanking you for your tender care, your compassion, your grace, your love that in Christ you have lavished on us all that we need for life and for godliness. We fix our eyes on you, the great shepherd, and as little timid sheep, we bow before your throne and say, feed us. Once again, those who might be discouraged here this morning, those who may feel they are in need, those who feel they are depressed and discouraged, may your word encourage us. Cause us to fix our eyes once again on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfect of our faith. In his name we ask and we pray. May God's people say amen. Amen. We have looked at this psalm the past 3 weeks, and we examined as to what it entails if we are to have the Lord as our shepherd, or as I pointed out the question to say, who is your shepherd? And if I would entitle my devotion this morning, I would entitle it to say, we must have unwavering confidence in the shepherd. Having unwavering confidence in the good shepherd. Even when everything seems as though it's dark, we must come to this realization that as believers, we are men and women who are called into this family, and we are walking by faith. And faith enables us to realize our true position as pilgrims and strangers on this earth. looking to the city that has foundation, whose maker and builder, as it would, is, as the author of Hebrews would tell us, God. It is into this that we then are coming to this psalm, knowing that there is that mansion prepared for us as we see it in verse number 6, knowing that there's a dwelling place which God the Almighty has prepared. There is a table which the Lord, the righteous judge, will set for us when the trumpet will sound on that day when he will return again. But before we get there to that home, as it is written and as it is promised to us, we begin to look around us. We find all things as they are. We feel we are strangers. Strangers in that very spot where we have been so long at home, right? But this is our joy. We have left our Father's house, but we are hastening to a more enduring home. But we find ourselves, as verse number 4 will tell us, in the valley of the shadow, where things will not be clear. We will face vulnerability, danger, toils, and snares. We'll face trials that will shake us on every side. We'll feel at times we have been conquered. At times we face sorrow and we are going to be moved to tears. Although faith tells us that the land where sorrow is coming and that land is ahead of us, but it will feel as though this is at times where we have made the residence. It is in moments such as that we come then by faith in the Good Shepherd, that we look and we examine his character attributes. And as we fix our eyes on him, we then, with unwavering faith and confidence, we are rest assured to say that though all seem dark now, but there is a light that is going to shine as he returns again in glory. So who is this shepherd we are talking about? We looked last week and we focused on this particular attribute of his, that he is a personal shepherd. In essence, we concluded and we said this, that this good shepherd is personally involved in our day-to-day lives. That's how so personal he is. But the second attribute I would like us to examine, and this will be the many that then follows after this, why we need to possess that confidence. Not only is he a personal shepherd, but verse number 1 tells us that he is a providing shepherd. Look at verse number 2. David resounds these words and he says, I shall not want. In verse number 2, at the end, we are told in verse number 1, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the still waters, and it is him who restores my soul. In essence, what David is pointing to us in this particular psalm, he's showing us of the tender care of this good shepherd, that he provides and meets the needs of David. Let's speak of them as the daily necessities that David will require. Because God is concerned about our physical daily needs, just as he is concerned about our spiritual needs, isn't it? We heard from Pastor Lance as he preached to us from Matthew chapter 6. Now, as you look at this providing nature of this shepherd, David is making this resounding statement. And he shows us that he has this expectation that his needs are supplied. He looks at this God as the one who is the covenant-keeping God, because the name employed here is Lord, which is Yahweh or Jehovah, which is the covenant name by which God is known by his covenant people. So he is personally known by David, and David is assured that as long as the sun and the stars remain, as long as summer and winter remains, as long as all seasons remain, there is one constant source I can trust in, and that is Jehovah himself. Observe this, that David does not look at his strength as the source of his provision. Observe that David does not tell us to say that because he is a shepherd, then he is very much sure that he will kill one of his sheep to provide for him. Observe here that David does not look to his own parents' heritage that maybe have been there at this point in time that he would put confidence and trust in. He says, it is the Lord who is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, he is my source, my sustainer, and my provider. Now, we are living in a day and age where people trust in their means, and they will call their means their source. You've heard it say that men who are doing business, they'll say, this is my source of income. Or you've heard it say, for men who are working and they are employed in some wonderful company, they will say, but that is my source of income. To the extent then that the society, even their family members, they would call them who breadwinners. By making that statement denotes that you are looking at this man or you are looking at his means as though these means are your source and not the one who supplies all our needs. And here is the dynamic and the dilemma of such means. Just as we look at the seasons around us, the seasons will change. There is a time to sow, there is a time to harvest. There is time for summer, there is time for winter. Just as seasons would change in a farming world, in a similar way, seasons in and of themselves are not reliable. In the same way, our means cannot be dependable and cannot be relied on. Our means may change. Seasons may change. But there's only one constant, and his name is Jehovah. So the Lord may allow you to have a business today, and it is out of that business where you are supplied and you have the needs you need. Means may change. The source remains the same. So we don't trust in our means, we trust in the source. We don't trust in ourselves, we trust in the God who has saved and called us. Such is our family life, a life of faith. We therefore live upon things unseen. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That when he who is our life will appear, we may appear with him. Because the provision of God goes way beyond what you need for your lunch and your supper. The provision of God has been clearly demonstrated to us in his providential care and love and compassion. In who? In his own Son, God in the flesh. The Lord, the name here, Jehovah, who David is referring to, is the Jehovah of Genesis 22. I may say with that line, this is then Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who does provide. He has provided us everything we need in his Son. Ephesians chapter number 1 captures that very well. In him. Let's read together. In him. In the Son, right? Let's listen. Paul sums it up in this way, as to God as a provider. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. He predestined us, verse 5, for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. That speaks of provision in all wisdom, insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which is, he said, in Christ. What else do we have? Verse number 11. Lovely. In him we have obtained an inheritance. having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ may be to the praise of his glory. In him, what have you received? In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in him. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The gifts of God given to man, epitome in Christ Jesus, but captured in the Holy Spirit as a gift of God to us now. Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. So we can have confidence, even in times such as this, that God has provided for us everything we need. He's given us His Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Scriptures. He's given us the Holy Sense. So that before we get to this house where He prepares a table before us, in the presence of our enemies, where the cup overflows, where everything that we need, the goodness and the mercies are following us, and all the days of our lives we dwell in that house forever, as we are walking now, let's be assured that the Lord is a providing shepherd. Lastly, not only is he the providing shepherd, but we see here that he is the powerful shepherd. He is the powerful shepherd, the personal shepherd, providing shepherd, but he is also the powerful shepherd. If you look in your Bible, the usage of the verbs he makes, verse number one, he leads, speaks of God's acts in the life of this man. He restores my soul. Speaking of God at work here. So he's a powerful shepherd who is doing this. Powerful enough that even when David comes at this descent of the valley, David is not afraid. Because he's so powerful that even the darkness is not dark to him. The same God who made the heavens and the earth, David is saying, it is the same God who is making me as a sheep to lie down in green pastures. He's on who is leading. He's there. Personal, providing, but at the same time, powerful. Powerful to provide. We can also add it like that, ne? Powerful to provide. Powerful to be present. As you see in verses number 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? I know you are with me. He is personally present. You may use it in any order you want. He is personally present. He is powerfully present. You can use that adjective. He is there involved. He is powerfully preceding. Look at verse number 2. He leads me beside the still waters. He is the one who is going before David. In power, he is preceding. In power, he is leading David. In power, he is restoring David's soul. The ancient shepherds, beloved, they were unlike the modern day shepherds. Modern day shepherds drive the sheep. Don't they? They stand behind the sheep and they control the sheep with a shambok. The ancient shepherds, what David has in view here concerning this powerful God who precedes, he has in view a God who is gone before the sheep. In essence, this God faces danger before this shepherd faces danger before his sheep faces it. He will be the first one to be pierced with thorns and thistles before the sheep are pierced with thorns and thistles. He will be the one to be first beaten by wasps and bees before the sheep are beaten by wasps and sheep. He is then the bulldozer, the trailblazer, the one who is a forerunner, who goes before the sheep. I'm using the word deliberately. Do you see how then God in the flesh would step down and would embody that, and he will say, I am not just a shepherd, not just the shepherd. He adds an adjective. He says, I am
the good shepherd.
What does a good shepherd do? He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. What is Christ doing? In laying down his life for his sheep, I love the way that the author of Hebrews puts that. Hebrews chapter number 2. Listen to what he says. I just love the way that the author of Hebrews captures this. Now, as we are reading Hebrews, I want you to look at the personal nature of this Christ. I want you to see how Christ precedes. I want you to see how Christ powerfully rescues his sheep. I want you to see how present he is, even now, involved in our lives. Look at verse number 14 of chapter number 2. Or should we read from verse number 10 of chapter 2? For it was fitting, I'll read verse number 10, then come to verse number 14. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, this is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How he is going to bring those sons into the house of the Lord forever. Look at how he does it. He made the founder of their faith, he should make the founder of their faith, of their salvation, perfect. How he did it? Through suffering. In other words, the founder of their faith had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's put it in the context of Psalm 23. Verse 11 tells us, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, they all have one source. One source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Verse 14. Since therefore children share in flesh and blood, he himself, this is how personally involved he is, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Why? That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to a lifelong slavery. For surely it is not to angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Why? So that he may become a merciful and effectual high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Amen. So then, this personal shepherd we are talking about, this powerful shepherd we are talking about, this providing shepherd we are talking about, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. This is not talking about what you need for your bank account. This is not talking about the next meal that you need, as important as that may be. But what you and I must realize is that the Lord God Almighty has given us what we need most. And that is the righteousness we have found in our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who was made a propitiation for our sins. So David then can say these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley, not by the valley, through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's how we exit this world. It's through that valley, isn't it? Yes, but when that valley comes, it may be, yes, metaphorically, you may say, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, maybe sickness, but depicted as a literal valley. Death has come. You die, because we all die. But when we are there in the valley, we know this. The good shepherd who speaks in verse number 11 of chapter 10 of John is the same shepherd who speaks in John chapter number 11, who says that I am the resurrection, I am the life. Any man who believes in me, even though he or she dies, shall live. That good shepherd is the one who speaks in John 14, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you might be also. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's why David then could say with confidence, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because I know you are with me. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. So we move from the valley. Then we enter the house. Do you see verse number 4 finishes in the valley? But verse number 5, we move from the field, the banquet hall. Do you see that? It's eschatological. Verse 5 and 6, they are eschatological in essence. Because what David is showing us then, to say God preparing a table before us, David there has in mind Revelation chapter 19. The marriage supper of the Lamb. I earnestly desire to partake this with you until it is fulfilled in my kingdom. That's what David has in mind there. He's not thinking of worldly promotions. He's thinking of that eternal consolation which God has prepared for those who walk with him in this life. It is there. It is there where our dwelling is. And see, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our dwelling. Hebrews chapter number 11 tells us the sense of God. This was their focus. They were looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. That's how they lived. They denied themselves. Why? Because they were fixing their eyes there on him who is the author, the perfecter of our faith, right? And it is him then who then prepares a table. Not only is he the shepherd, for some reason he changes to be a chef. Do you see there? Not only is he the one who is taking David to the greener pastures, but he's actually setting the tables. He's there as not as the guest. No, God is there as the host. And David as a guest. Not only is God caring for us now, but he will care for us forevermore. So we can confidently shout with David, even when everything else seems to be dynamic, but there's only one constant in a dynamic world. And the constant is God is the good shepherd. Let's bow our heads and we pray. Our everlasting, self-sufficient, eternal, unchanging, loving Father, we are amazed that we can even call you Father. We who once deserved your justice and punishment, you have adopted us as sons and daughters. In the context we find ourselves where we are faced with turmoils, dangers and snares, may our hearts find confidence in you. As we heard, yes, we are indeed prone to fear, but may our fear be replaced with faith in you. May our blind sight be given eyes to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. So lead and guide us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Go before us, we ask. Show us the way we must go, that we, your sheep,
secure in your hands, may find in you the great joy that surpasses the joy the worldly treasures are able to give us. It is in the name of our great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, one who has laid down his life for us, we are thanking you this morning. And may God's people say amen.
Amen.